Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:54 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 18th, and I thought I would kick off today with Tesla. The share has more than doubled in 6 months. Well, let's call it 7 months, and it is looking really quite overbought in the short term, but it's at a new all-time high. There's probably room for some consolidation. If we think about the end of the year cycle, we're in the middle of the Santa Claus rally. This one is more than likely going to be positive relative to the crushing decline that we had in the third quarter of last year that set up the big advance that we had in the first part of this year. This is the time of the year when people start to think about tax selling. So they will have, for example, someone may have a profit in Tesla, and they may be thinking about taking some profits as we come towards the last 2 weeks of the year. Well, they may want to offset it with losses in some of the other shares. When we think, for example, what was the worst performing share on the S&P 500 this year? It was Macy's, and it has done almost nothing but decline, but it has firmed over the course of the last couple of days. It's coming back up towards the upper side of this little base formation that's been forming now for the last 4 months. We often get a rotation in the almost the, what I tend to think of as the interregnum period between Christmas and New Year, where we get some dynamic moves that signal that a trend has ended or a new trend is beginning. Often it is some of the worst performing shares in the year that tend to bounce when we think about the shares that are most likely to do best on the first day of trading in January. When therefore we look at the S&P 500, in fact, the recent stability in Macy's has taken it off the bottom. It's TripAdvisor and Abiomed are now the worst performers this year. Then let's think about what were the best performers. Well, Advanced Micro Devices and Lam Research, those are well represented in the semiconductors index, up well in excess of 100%. When we think about how likely is that to persist in 2020, well, we can certainly see that AMD has got a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean. The last time we had anything approaching this kind of overextension was in the end of the third quarter in 2018, and we had a very steep pullback. There's no evidence yet that this advance is over, but we're heading towards the end of the year, and I don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility that we get some consolidation coming through in the first week of next year. I think an example to look at for would be from the oversold sector. We had a rather significant move by GE at the beginning of this year, and it carried through just from a low right before Christmas all the way through to approximately the end of February, going from approximately 6.5 to about 12. So a doubling in the space of 2 months is rather impressive. That is the kind of move we can anticipate from some of these very oversold shares. But obviously there has to be at least some bullish catalyst, whether it is a very deep oversold condition, and then that the scenario isn't quite as bad as everyone was thinking it was going to be, or on the other side, whether the very overbought condition just can't persist any longer, that at some stage a very accelerated trend is going to run into the lack of new buyers. So I think those are some of the considerations that we have going into the end of the year. When we then think about the wider market, well, the S&P 500 was unchanged yesterday and unchanged again in here today. It's continuing to pause here around the 3,200 point level. There is a somewhat overbought condition relative to the trend mean. I really don't think it's beyond the bounds of possibility at all. that we see some consolidation over the course of the next few weeks, considering that the market spent most of the year ranging. We had the relief rally that took place in the first quarter, and following the first quarter, the market's up about 9%. I think confining ourselves to calendar views is not the best way to analyze the market. We just have to simply look at the price action. And the fact that the market spent the better part of a year and three quarters ranging in a similar manner to what it did in 2015 and 16 and in 2011 through 12 is supportive of the view that this breakout will be sustained. It is the ability of the market to sustain the breakout is the precondition for concluding that we are still in a medium-term demand-dominated environment. On each of the previous occasions when these lengthy ranges have been resolved on the upside, the breakouts have held. We need to continue to see that happening. That does suggest that there is room for some catch-up play. And when we then think about the UK, well, there are clear bullish catalysts. And the FTSE 100 has pushed back above the 7,500 point level. It's coming back up towards the upper side of this range that's persisted for the last 3 years. When we then look at mid-caps, well, the FTSE 250 has paused around the 22,000 level, but it has done really very well over the course of the year so far and is a little bit overbought in the short term. The pound was due some consolidation. It is now getting it. So far, it has held the 130 area. And I rather think that that is the most likely point where we can expect to see at least some support coming back in. The most important thing it's done has been to break the downtrend, and that is still very much intact. The performance of the pound versus the euro has the potential to either be a failed upside break. It hasn't quite failed just yet, but the size of the downward dynamic suggests at least a pause in what has been a very impressive rebound over the course of the last 3 months. What that does suggest is we're probably likely to see some ranging at the minimum in order to unwind that overbought condition and then potentially see it pushing on the upside. I think that it is likely we're going to see some form of Brexit light agreement signed before the end of the year. Between now and then, we're probably going to have a great deal of brinksmanship. But I think the most likely scenario is that the UK is going to come out of this entire process to the good. And I think there is evidence in the political establishment that there's an enthusiasm that is beginning to grow about retaking autonomy, but that also represents responsibility. They will no longer have the comfort of being able to blame the EU for everything that goes wrong and taking credit for everything that goes right. And that kind of taking responsibility for actions is something that can only be viewed as a positive for the political process. What it also, I think, suggests is we are going to see a somewhat stronger pound. What I think is rather interesting when we think about the outlook for UK bonds, we have a really quite acutely inverted yield curve in the UK right now, and this is almost a mirror image of what the US yield curve looked like all the way back in August. There is a very significant belly in the curve between about 6 month maturities going out to about 10 years. That is suggesting that there are going to be some rather significant rate cuts, at least a quarter point at some point over the next 12 months. But that, I think, is rather unlikely. But what it does suggest is that gilt yields are rather overvalued. If the economy is likely to perform better, then a pickup of 2.5 basis points between the Bank of England's base rate and the yield on the 10-year yield looks to be rather risible. And we're right in the region of the trend mean. There has been a succession of higher reaction lows since August. I think it's more than likely that we're going to see this yield pushing back above the trend mean and potentially start to unwind what has been a really a very persistent decline over the course of the last decade. It feels like an awfully long time ago when savers could put money in the bank and earn a return upon it. I think we're probably a long way from returning to that kind of scenario, but I think it's unlikely that we're going to see very low yields in within the next 12 months. I think it is much more likely that this is a failed downside break below the low that we saw in 2016, and that the most likely scenario is we're going to see yields push back up towards the 1.5% level, which would be a doubling from where they are right now. And that, I think, is equally true for Europe. The earnings results that we had from FedEx overnight were particularly disappointing, and the share was down about 5% today. The company has a number of obstacles. It's not just about slowing global growth, but the likelihood is that the return to monetary and fiscal stimulus, in fact, this is really the first time that we've had simultaneous monetary and fiscal stimulus, that is likely to be beneficial for global growth, and the desire to continue to buy bonds with a negative yield is likely to dissipate. And it is looking increasingly likely that German bund yields will push back above the 0% level. The US 10-year yield is also right in the region of its trend mean. It hasn't quite been able to push back above the 2% level yet, but it is increasingly likely that the 1.5% level is a meaningful area of resistance for the market, and that we are likely to see additional weakness coming through in the bond markets. Gold prices continue to range and were relatively unchanged over the last 3 days. This kind of very inert action is completely out of character for gold. It is not going to persist indefinitely. The region of the trend mean needs to continue to hold if this trend is going to be really very consistent. On the other hand, it could yet pull back to the region of the upper side of the underlying base formation, which is a lot closer to $1,350. The most important point is that this continues to look like a first step above the base, and first steps above the base can be volatile, and they can easily come back and test the upper side of the underlying range. So we're not quite yet at the end of this period of consolidation for the precious metals. But I do think that it is likely we're going to see additional upside in platinum and silver before we see it in gold. Platinum has bounced from the region of the trend mean, and it was a little steadier in here today. Silver, being high beta gold, is also steadying from the region of its trend mean. It was off its lows in here today. It does need to sustain a move back above 1750 to break this sequence of lower rally highs. Palladium, on the spot market at least, got up to $2,000 yesterday, and it was in negative territory in here today. So this looks like another period of consolidation, similar to what we saw in November or in July and early August or in March. And as long as the 1800 point, or excuse me, dollar level holds, then this will remain a very consistent trend. But it is really quite steep. If we get a more pronounced pullback, then that will raise the prospect of a medium-term peak having been found. When we then think about the continuous commodity index, it has broken its downtrend very clearly. This is a 4-year range that's already been underway for quite some time. When we think about the potential here, it's quite likely it's going to go back up to the upper side of its range. but it's going to have to sustain a move above 450 in order to confirm that we're back in a period of clear demand dominance for the sector. When we think about the dollar index, the outlook for the precious metal sector and emerging markets and indeed global developed markets is very much tied to the persistence in the dollar's uptrend. Now, it has steadied over the course of the last few sessions. When we think about central bank activity, there is no government or central bank wants a strong currency. Some are willing to do more to weaken theirs than others. The dollar did have a short-term oversold condition. It has now pretty much unwound it. Now, if we're thinking about whether this is a meaningful area of resistance in the region of the trend mean, we're probably going to have an answer to that within the next few days. I rather think that it is likely we are close to a peak for the dollar. The Federal Reserve has cut interest rates 3 times. They're back supplying significant quantities of dollars to the global market through their repo operations. Well, that removes the supply inelasticity argument. Then the yield differential has compressed because of the interest rate cuts. And there is the scope for growth to pick up in the global market faster than we're seeing in the USA. So there are a number of factors that could contribute to a weaker dollar that were not really present last year. But in order to confirm that we're back in a supply-dominated environment for the dollar, it is going to have to encounter resistance in the region of the trend mean. So we are at a rather pivotal level. When we then think about the Europe Stoxx 600, it was in negative territory today, but it is back above 400. That is concluding what has been an almost 20-year ranging phase. If it can hold the move above the 400-point level, then we have to conclude that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. When we think about the banking sector in Europe, it is also doing better. In fact, banking sectors just about everywhere are back above their respective trend means. And that is also a vote of confidence in the more the return to a liquidity-fueled environment for the global economy. When we then think about Japan, well, the index is right in the region of the peaks from 2018. There is a very short-term overbought condition, but it does look increasingly likely that Japan is going to do better. When we think about South Korea, it has clearly broken its downtrend, and it was pretty much unchanged in here today. Taiwan has been led higher by Taiwan Semiconductor and has been just pushing on to successive new highs on almost a daily basis. Mid-caps in the UK have been leading, and it's equally true in Europe. And in the USA, the Russell 2000 is pulling away from the 1600-point level. That really is a vote of confidence in the reflation trade. It was really the missing ingredient from Wall Street over most of this year. The fact that the Russell 2000 is now starting to improve again, well, that is supportive of the more bullish conclusion that investors have reached. I think an additional missing ingredient has been Amazon. The share has so far failed to push back above the $1,800 level, and it, more importantly, back above the trend mean. In fact, having found support in the trend mean, in the region of the trend mean in June, again in August, then it started encountering resistance there in October, November, and now again in December. This is not particularly encouraging chart action. And for a company the size of Amazon, which is generating massive revenue from the consumer and then relying on its web services division and cloud computing for profitability, those are two very important sectors. On the one hand, you have the consumer, which is the driver of the US economy. Then you have cloud computing, which is one of the highest growth sectors. If Amazon in fact breaks down below $1,700, then that is not going to be a particularly benign signal for the wider market. Meanwhile, the shares of companies like Apple, Microsoft, and Google continue to push on to new high ground, but we have really very wide overextensions here. I think it is inevitable that we're going to have some consolidation in the not-so-distant future. Facebook, on the other hand, has been pushing on and is now back above the $200 area. There is the clear potential that it is on the cusp of pushing on the upside. So we may be in for some rotation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.